Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, radio listeners. Good evening, and welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia. My name is Delia Farquharson, and just to remind you that you can call in live to our show. We're live on the air. And the call-in number is 619-639-4621. That's 619-639-4621. And we have another exciting episode for you today. The topic is lonely in a crowd. And we look forward to talking about, you know, what that means, what it means to be lonely in a crowd. But I'm not lonely in a crowd because I have my fabulous co-host with me, my awesome husband, Raymond.
Hello.
So, Raymond, lonely in a crowd. What does that make you think about?
I guess being lonely in a crowd meaning you really have no real connection with anyone. You probably have conversation or have relationships with folks at work, friends that you might have, but you're not really truly connected with them, sharing anything in common or anything meaningful. So therefore, you have no one else that you're connected to in a real way.
Mm-hmm. So the questions that I posed for this episode was, are you feeling lonely in spite of having friends and socializing? Are you working on fostering authentic human connections? And with the explosion of social media, are you losing your ability, are we losing our ability to really connect on a meaningful level? Are we more isolated than we have been before, despite being more connected technologically? So what does that feel like? You know, are there people out there who, in spite of having 1,000 friends on Facebook and 300 connections on LinkedIn and a million pictures on Instagram and tweets from every direction, that in spite of doing all of those things, they still feel alone and feel like they don't have friends?
Right. But I think, I guess, the word friends, I guess, is subject to interpretation. But I think with today's technology, with a generation of young people and older folks as well are becoming more savvy with the technology that's available for us to be more connected. Now you can pick up the phone and call. Now you can text someone. Now you can email, Instagram, and share things and share pictures and share thoughts. But the meaningful relationship that says, I am more connected to you than just showing you my latest pictures or what I ate for dinner today or what I bought at the store today. I know more about you because I can pick up the phone and have a meaningful conversation with you because we connect on a level that is more than just the superficial. And I think, me personally, I have observed that in action where folks are, it becomes blatantly clear to me that people are connected in no more than just trivial, nonsensical things that are just have no grounds, no basis for a relationship. It's a bunch of pictures. It's a bunch of thoughts. It's nothing connecting one to another where I can call you up and have a real conversation. So yes, you're going to feel lonely because there's no one else on the other end listening to you. You're talking, but no one else is listening to you because the only thing you share are a bunch of pictures.
Yeah, and, you know, so then that leads us to ask the question, what defines, what are the things that, you know, we use to indicate that it's a meaningful relationship? You know, how do we determine that this is a meaningful relationship? Because, I mean, for my own experiences, I went to a large high school, but I only came away from that experience with a handful of friends.
Right.
And those are friends that I still remain connected with, you know,
right.
5 years later.
All right. Thanks.
But,
I should go to jail.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, and those are people that I don't have to talk to every day.
Right.
I don't have to, I mean, I could go for months or even years without talking to them, but if I pick up the phone and I call and it's like we pick up from the last conversation or that connection does not change.
Right.
You know, and I can, and these are folks, my friends are people that I can call if I needed something, if I just needed to talk, if something was bothering me. Or, you know, I have friends that if I needed them to come now because I needed their attention or time or energy, they would get on a plane and come.
Right. And I understand absolutely the same feeling. And you have actually gotten more friends since that.
Yeah.
But again, you know, different level of friends you have different level of relationships with folks. But I guess where I want to stay is, and I'll tell you a story. And it has nothing so much to do with, you know, connection with people, but it became so clear to me that there's a generation of folks who communicate in a way that is, and I don't think they realize it. A young gentleman happened to do some business with him, and he needed to call me and let me know when he was in the building. When he called, I wasn't at my desk. And rather than leave me a message, he came upstairs. And I said, "Why didn't you leave me a message?" And he seriously looked me straight in the eye. He's 16 years old. And said, "I don't know how to leave a message. I have never done that." So he had a whole lot of gadgetry with him. He was communicating with his friends or others. But just simple things that some of us think should be normal, how we communicate or how we connect and how we do things, it's missing. I think there's a missing link between just how we can properly communicate with each other and develop relationships, real meaningful relationships, not necessarily become best friends, not necessarily become friends, but have a relationship where I can call you up and say, "Listen, I need something," or "May I be of assistance? Something happened to you. Is there any way I can help you?" That's just being a friend. So I think, I fear that we are growing, forget the part about how we write and all that other things and how we communicate in actual text. That's another story. But just the meaningful thing of having a relationship with another human being above and beyond, sharing things like pictures or what I ate today or what I wore today, it has to live on something more meaningful than that.
Yeah. So you said forget how we write. Is that part of it? Are we losing how to actually communicate, how to actually engage in a discussion, how to actually formulate thoughts that are not limited to 140 characters on Twitter or just these you know, short sentences, these, you know, bursts of symbols and you know, ad hoc creation of words?
Yeah, LOL. Whatever else, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, is that part of it? Is that part of it where we're losing the ability to really communicate in a meaningful way and then really, in a heartfelt way where you're really talking about what you're feeling and not your superficial feelings?
But is it a problem if you don't know it's a problem? Is it really truly a problem? If everyone in your circle communicate in the same way, if everyone that you have a relationship, you don't want to be different. So therefore, you communicate and you relate to others as all the others are doing. So is it really a problem if everyone is doing the same thing and you don't know and you don't see it as a problem? So maybe it's not a problem.
But you know what? If your only connection and your only interactions is limited to that group of people who communicate in the same way with you, and you could just exist in that world in isolation,
mm-hmm.
then I guess it wouldn't be a problem. But can you? Do you have to exist outside of Instagram and outside of Twitter and outside of these superficial connections where you have to actually engage when you go to do a job interview? and you have to actually engage with people when you're in a workplace.
Right.
Or if you even, you know, if you go into a, you know, a facility or a doctor, or some, you know,
just
you have to develop.
Yeah,
yeah, you have to develop relationships
right.
with others.
Right.
Does it matter then?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to make the argument that the connections that have grown out of technology and social media and all this growth and explosion of technology has actually stunted our growth as people, have made us more secluded, where folks can now stay in their rooms and never see another living human being, but feel as if they're connected to all their quote-unquote friends on Facebook, Instagram, and whatever other media. So I think it has isolated folks even more so, or created the opportunity for folks to feel as if they are somewhat connected, even though they're really physically and otherwise isolated.
Right. You know, so in preparing for the show, right, we took a look at this website, shabbat.org, and it asked, you know, a couple questions, similar questions to the things that we asked. But one of the questions that really struck me is, as you lie down in your lonely bed, you wonder to yourself, if you died in the night, how long would it take till you were missed?
Yeah, that's powerful.
You know, because that kind of isolation where you're actually walking with people but you're so embedded and so involved with your electronic gadgets that you're not really engaged with the people that are beside you.
Mm.
Or that you're, you know, in a crowd, you're at a party or a dinner and you're not really engaged with the people that are beside you because, one, maybe you don't have the practice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that practiced ability to engage the people. So so your communication is limited or confined to your electronic gadget because that's more comfortable. That's more anonymous. That's more, you know, indirect.
Right. Do you feel as if the word like social phobia has become more common, where, you know, it's easier to explain as if it's a newfound condition where, oh, don't worry, you know, it's a social phobia that he or she has. They don't do well with people. They don't communicate well. So you wonder, is it that all of a sudden everyone is drinking the same water or drinking the same Kool-Aid that they're establishing or coming down with this newfound condition? Or is it just the technology that we're using and the form in which we communicate and how we communicate is leading us down this path? And I think what I really want to say is people need to look at themselves and evaluate.
Okay.
And parents need to look at their children and how they are able to communicate. Force them to do things. Send them to the store to do a transaction. Send them to do things outside their ordinary that really is in their everyday lives.
Because the sad truth is that many families now are using, this is how the child is being socialized, is with an electronic gadget. I mean, I've seen a two-year-old that has his own Kindle or whatever, you know, whatever it is, and that's what engages him.
Right.
So, you know, at 2 years old, and I, you know, the jury is still out on the impact on the brain of all this electronics. But you know, we, you know, it makes you wonder. So it makes you wonder, you know, what becomes of us when people don't engage and children are being socialized in this way. We have a caller on the line, and good evening. Your aunt,
yes,
hello.
Good evening.
How are you? Hello?
Yes, hello. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you. We can hear you fine.
Hello.
Okay. Hello, Raymond.
Hi, Dr. Bryant.
This is the way I see it. I'm not going to answer that. This is the way I see it.
Okay, sir.
There is... this is a good conversation, but the truth is, how I see it, if all the kids are communicating in this way that we don't like, I think it's okay. Because
okay.
I think back to love letters, we used to read from people writing 300 years ago. That sort of prose, that sort of way of communication. You and I never learned it, right? So I can just imagine, how people would talk about how horrible it is the way we communicate versus the way they communicated 100 years ago, right? We don't write the way people wrote 100 years ago. They were awesome writers.
Right?
We don't have that skill. We never got that skill. But, you know, we survived because society basically then adjusted to who we were. And so what I think, as I look, as I look on today's youth, I don't worry about it anymore because what's going to happen is that they are going to find their norm is going to be different from our norm. So yes, you and I communicated, we talk about friendships. Our friendships had a lot to do with the fact that we were interacting with each other. And interacting, I mean physically interacting with each other. All right? But these kids, how they define friendships is going to be very different from how we define friendships. You know, and the things that you're worried about, I think, in terms of a kid being able to talk to a clerk or talk to a whatever, you know, what's going to happen is that technology is going to take care of that, in that maybe they never have to talk to a clerk or maybe only very sporadically. So I don't worry about it as much. I really don't, because I think everything is going to adjust to what they are and their norms.
But does the human race need human interactions in order to properly survive?
And there will be human interactions. You know, it's just going to be different, I think. Yeah. You're defining human interaction as what, Dee?
I'm defining human interaction as the ability to really engage with someone, to have that, because, the endorphins and the oxytocin that's released when you have that social connection. In all the blue zones of the world, these are the things, these are the elements that they say is critical. That social interaction and people connection is critical for people living and living healthy, well lives. You know, it's not a criticism so much of the fact that, yeah, technology is changing and the way we communicate will change and reflect the changes in technology. But it's about, I guess, maybe the balance and the need that I think that the need for human interaction will never be replaced, I believe, by technology. Can a society that is isolated and that, you know, people are not interacting with each other, can that society really survive and thrive?
I mean, I don't think there can be any. Go ahead, Ken.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I'm thinking there can be no upside in existing in isolation, because an isolation will come from the sheer fact of if we're communicating with only technology and in losing that human contact. Folks who spend too much time by themselves are no better for it.
And people are punished. I mean, you know, one of the highest forms in our penal system is to give you isolation.
Who wants?
Right?
That's not voluntary, though. But that's not voluntary.
That's what I'm saying. But for it to be used as punishment means that at some level our society cannot think that it's good for you.
All right. So let's fast forward 50 years. And let us say that we continue on this trend. What will happen to society then?
I guess to your point, we will evolve. I think probably you're making the case that we're in a transition. We are in the transition.
Or we will cycle back.
Exactly. One or the other will happen.
Yeah. What you see now with this idea of sustainable living, I mean, that's how folks lived in the Caribbean years and years ago, right? People were doing things where
organic.
you were recycling everything. You reused your aluminum. You reused everything.
Exactly.
And organic, natural, and normal. Right.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that the human race will do eventually what is best for them, right? You know, but everything I think that we do, you know, we're still learning. The human race is still a very young race, and we're still learning. So there are times that we're going to go off the path, and we will self-correct.
Right.
That's true. But I think, though, Ken, for me personally, when you see it in living action, when you see it being, you know, when you see it live, when you see folks who are not capable of doing a transaction or not comfortable in a certain setting, which is necessary for day-to-day living, it becomes painful. When you have folks who have education and they have alphabet soup after their name, but certain transactions they are not capable of doing, or certain network they can't do because it wasn't part of how they were brought up, you know. And I hear you where you talk about the evolution that we're on, and in terms of where technology has impacted our lives, and these kids who are born now, and as soon as they're born, they're given an electronic device as their pacifier, and that's what they use, and that's what they know, and they know how to crack codes and do all these things, but basic function that they still have to do, regardless of what year they live in, they are not capable or not comfortable doing it because it's not normal for them.
Yeah.
All right.
And I still contend that we need to be engaged with others.
Yeah.
In order to be well. Because,
fine.
For example, children, babies who are not held fail to thrive. They've done lots of studies on that. Babies who are not held when they're born fail to thrive.
What if I made the point that because I am not a technophile, because I'm not on Instagram, because I'm not on many of these social media, today I think I'm becoming more isolated. Than others who are actually more connected. I am, you know, I'm off the grid.
Okay, so you're isolated technologically.
I'm by that virtue, because I have not moved with society, I'm just totally isolated. Even socially, I'm isolated today.
It's the opposite side of the same coin.
Exactly. You know, because I'm choosing not to communicate the way others are.
That's a choice.
But that's, yeah, as you said, Ken, it's a choice.
That's a choice.
I can change that.
True.
I can recognize it. And you know what? I mean, think about this. When we were in high school and, you know, I mean, a computer, much less a laptop, much less all, didn't exist. So we figured it out, right? We figured out how to write a paper with a typewriter, and it goes ding, and all of that. And we use the tools that are necessary to function in today's world. So I think the idea that says, and that's part of education, would you agree, in terms of knowing what you don't know and what you need to survive in your world. So if I need to learn how to use certain things, if I need to learn how to use an email, my mother sent me an email one time. My mother is 92 years old. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So again, if you need to, and I think it's part of, and this is where to me, this is where being well-rounded in your education, not just being focused on any one thing, but understanding what you need to survive in your world.
And I think also that choice of connecting on Instagram or on Twitter or any of these social media is something you can change instantaneously, practically, so long as you have a good, you know, a high-speed connection and a computer or a device. But making that human connection and engaging with others is not instantaneous. That's something that has to be developed, and you cannot choose to change it instantly and be able to. It's something that has to be nurtured.
Right.
And that's the difference, is that, you know, I can connect or disconnect on Instagram or Twitter or whatever it is at any time. So, you know.
I guess the jury is still out, and I guess.
The one thing I'll say about what Dela just said, I would say that if she asked a person who is 70 or 80 that same question, I don't think they would agree with her that they can choose, because I mean, just like how you have comfort or lack of comfort with social interaction, there's comfort and lack of comfort with technology also. You know,
sure.
You know, so, yeah. so for you, it might seem it's an easy thing for you to do and to change. Whereas I can tell you that I have a cousin who I bought her computer like 6 years ago, and she has been on it maybe twice. She's afraid of it.
Right. But you know what? But Ken, changing that, one, is about changing her thoughts, because this is, of course, a show about thoughts, feelings, and actions. But it's about changing her thoughts. So the thought that she probably has in her head is that this thing is, you know, some great big magical thing that has power over her.
Exactly.
Right. You know, so once
exactly.
She shifts that thought and realizes it's just a tool that I can manipulate, then she'll be able to conquer it. But it's something that, coached in the right way, she would be able to do it in an afternoon. She could probably develop comfort with that.
Maybe.
You know, with the right kind of support and,
right.
You know, and the right kind of coaching in an afternoon. She would be able to get comfortable with that and realize that, yeah, you know, there's things that I can use this to do.
Right, she might end up with her Facebook, Twitter account, and all that wonderful stuff.
But choosing to engage with others and to develop a meaningful relationship would take more than an afternoon.
Correct.
Really,
yeah.
Would take more than an afternoon. So, you know, and that's the point. The point of this is that, you know, shifting how we think about it, that as a society and as a group of people, I don't think that we can survive and be well without having strong human connections, real authentic connection, where when I ask you, how are you, I wait to hear what you say because I care.
Yeah. I mean,
you know?
No Twitter accounts can give
that.
You the same effect.
Right. And so often there are misunderstandings in communication because that essence is lost in the email, the tone.
Okay. Let me ask a question then, guys. Let me ask one question. Is this, you know, technologies come out of a need, all
right?
Right. You know, we create these things or the technologies that tend to basically survive, you know, there's a need that you can place as to why these survive and why others did not. Now, you know, I'm thinking about even these days when we send out Merry Christmas or Happy Father Day text
right.
to our friend.
Yeah.
You know, and you realize that everything is so rushed now. I think a society
mm-hmm.
is so rushed. And I think that's
right.
why some of these things are so popular, because
right.
it's easier for me to send out this text. And Raymond, you and I have talked about this. You know, we
right.
send this text out to 10 people. There's,
right.
There is nothing warm or comforting about the text.
Right.
It's just a text. You know, he's like, okay, I've now told Raymond happy Father's Day. Tick, I've ticked off that. Okay, let's
check,
on to the next task.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a really great point, and it's a great point to end on, because unfortunately the show is a half an hour. Thanks for calling. But the thing about it is that, and that's the reason why we believe that a show like this, Discussions with Delia, is really so important, because we take a half an hour of our day to talk about something that we think is important with people like you. And I think that, you know, that's the essence of it. Because a half an hour out of your day to really connect and talk about things that you feel are important is always a good thing. So thank you so much for calling. We hope.
Thanks, Ken.
Be good, guys.
All right. Thanks
bye-bye.
So much. All right. So, dear, that was a really good discussion.
It was.
And so I want to say thank you for listening. And until next week, when I think we will be having a special guest to tell us, you know, their story. So until next week, please like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia, and follow me on Twitter @DiscussionDelia. And thank you for joining us today.
Bye-bye.
Till next week. Blessings.
Welcome.
Thank you. you for listening to me today. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at @withDeliaM. And be sure to like our Facebook page at Discussions with Delia. Tune in next week for another exciting show.